keys and things, because they worry about us. So it's free. Your general, I'm sorry, Jen Carter, I think you've met her, she'll come out and she'll say, don't worry, guys, we don't want you to starve. Here, take this. Apparently, as we were packing up, some very overly enthusiastic staff member placed them into a box labeled Chromebooks. I discovered this recently. Yeah, so the concept of bacterial growth and fermentation is very much on my mind.
You poor convention organizer. That's the beauty. I run a much smaller con. Much smaller con. Divide this con by 10. Now you think I'm making fun of myself? No, I'm just making them jealous. Because at some point the number hits 5 digits and then you start crying.
Yep. But then again, we have on stage the guy with the absolute tiniest convention in the world, and he's the one sitting over on the end. That's Mr. Boozy Badger, isn't it? Tell us about how tiny your convention is.
I'm the smartest one of all of you.
I only got 2 letters, asshole.
Everyone else here was like, I'm going to start a furry con and invite everyone. I said, I'm going to start a furry con and make it so no one wants to come. We have, what was our last attendee count?
35.
No, you're leaving out the bees and the snake.
42.
Basement God. Fuck you.
I should add, if there are any children in the audience, out. Okay, we're all very tired. We're all, these gentlemen have been performing their hearts out, entertaining you all weekend long. We may occasionally slip a little bit and accidentally let a few fucks or something in like that. The problem is, I don't know about them. I probably won't, because I don't have any more to give you.
Witness my field and see that she is barren, for I have no more fucks to give.
Unless, of course, you donate to the charity, then we'll scrounge up one single fuck for you.
I figure they paid for it. Now, the problem is up here, is we have with us Pandez, who is genetically Canadian. And anytime I try to get Pandez to get bawdy, he just kind of says, oh, well, gosh darn golly heave-ho. Or something like that.
I thought we had him for a while that one time. Turns out poutine is a food.
Yeah, we thought we were being silly, but people eat that.
You all just don't know how to talk dirty to a Canadian. Hey, Pandas.
Yes.
Maple. Hockey. Double double.
Let me try one.
Trudeau.
But is it Trudeau?
Trudeau or not Trudeau?
That is the question.
Consumption be done of this.
But see, that's not fair. That works for every region. Watch this one. Hey, Uncle Kaga.
Yes, Alkali?
Scrapple.
That was a dirty trick. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, the skinniest guy at the table is orgasming over food. From the bottom of my heart, screw you.
No, Scrapple.
I'm not sure we can define Scrapple as food. Scrapple
is a food-like product that comes from Philadelphia. Apparently, somebody threw a pig into the Schuylkill River, and it rotted, and apparently some homeless guy tasted it and said, you know, this ain't so bad. Oh. That's where Scrapple comes from.
They made this for me when I came to visit them once. And I don't mean, like, they had a meal. I mean, I walked into their condo. They put out a flat griddle in the living room. You know, the safest place for a flat griddle. They took a giant-ass knife and took a brick what I thought was just a normal brick and mortar brick and started shaving pieces of what they claimed to be meat off of it, throwing it onto the griddle. Now meat hitting the griddle, a sizzle, a pop, it had all that, but then it started moving. The thing is so solid that the air underneath it while cooking was making it jump and kind of do the worm across the plate, and I've never been more hungry.
It
smells amazing, it looks amazing, and it damaged Uncle Kage because you can't get close enough to this shit to flip it because it is just a volcano of nonsense all over their head, like, I hope you enjoy this! Ah! Like, I'm enjoying it now.
Scrapple is the devil's spam.
Yes.
I love it. I went to visit Uncle Kage and he said, I have a special treat for you, my boy. And brought out Scrapple and said, you'll know what this is. And I'm going, I live in Philly. I'm not from Philly. I don't know what unholy bargain you made to get Scrapple in North Carolina, but undo it. I went down again this year, and Grandma Kake, bless her heart.
Watch what you say to my mom.
No, that was the good bless your heart. Grandma Kake, bless her heart, said, I'm going to make breakfast. And you know what Grandma Kake brought out for the person that she knew was from the South? Sausage, like a civilized human being, you monster.
I want to back up a moment. Were you attempting to impersonate me just now?
That is exactly what you...
That is bullshit. I do not sound like that, my boy. I agree. He does not sound like that.
Yes, of course.
Not at all?
Nobody fucks with the cockroach. That's why I'm so lonely.
Uh-oh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the gigantic, gangly Jewish guy with a hat. I don't know why you didn't have to do me, but I'm gonna make loud noises. Excuse me, anybody else getting aroused? Is it just oh, I forgot! Poor Lauren over there has to interpret this.
Ah, yes, the best comedy for deaf people. Visible. We got it. We nailed it. The rest of the show, no words. No. Holy shit, if we did an entire show with no words, I want to see how awkward this would be.
We did.
No, make it better. Do an entire show with no words, but do this.
Okay. Oh, that's easy. I've been to conventions where that happens all the time.
I just want to watch the people get mad, like looking at the interpreter.
Now, we did that once, and this is something I am insanely proud of. Alkali and I went to see the movie Stan and Ollie, and they did a remarkable... You may. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
They did an incredible reenactment of the famous hat routine that Mr. Laurel and Mr. Hardy did years ago. So I said to Alkali, we gotta try that. We didn't actually get time to rehearse it, but we got up on stage and somehow we made it work. I like to think that the spirit of Oliver Hardy was looking down from heaven and saying, well, here's another fine mess you've gotten us into.
After the shit show that we left that theater in, I'm sure he followed us around for a while. You need to understand, we went and saw this movie as it was about to leave theaters. We didn't go to a crowded theater. We didn't go to a good theater. We went to a theater with 8 senior citizen couples sitting in random spots, and here's the two of us giggling over the Christian messaging in the previews that are preceding the movie, and everyone in this room hating us. And then the movie happens. This is a very close friend of mine. We are both very into old-time comedians. We are leaning on each other. We are laughing our ass off. We are making a scene. And now the old people want to hang out. I think two of them just started to slowly move close to us to hear our conversation, because the movie is good, but we're weird, and sometimes that's what you're looking for.
Okay, what do you think those old people were saying to each other when they overheard us saying, okay, what do you think their personas would be? Okay, stand as an otter. Stand as an otter. Okay, what would Oliver have been? Well, okay, I'm putting this to Pandex. Pandex!
Yes.
Oliver Hardy, his persona, go.
Whole company.
See, I want to say fair, but I think it's too obvious. I'm gonna go with Sergal for no reason.
Sergal. Well, they do a kind of cheesy comedy, so yeah. Boo me all you want, I thrive off that. A boo to a pun is better than a standing ovation for nudity. I don't know the correlation, but they both get me hard.
Actually, I am going to make an accusation.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go get something that I found backstage. Guys, keep it going. I'll be right back.
They're tricking us and not coming back.
What I love is sitting there going, boo me all you want.
Yeah.
You know what?
What?
Boo me all you want. You know why? Because mentally I just add Z at the end of it. It turns your jeers into adoration. That's how I got through middle school.
It doesn't matter if you're booing or if you're giving us applause. We can turn it all into music because boos and claps and boos and claps and boos.
Oh, my. I had been watching 30 Rock for years before I caught the line in the background from Tracy Jordan. You can boo me all you want. I'm fairly certain most of you are not ghosts. I never caught that line.
The simple fact is we don't care if you like what we do or not. We're just here for a reaction. We are the kids who never learned the difference between good and bad attention.
Oh, that could not be more true. This is actually very real. One of my first times really getting out there and performing myself was in high school. I went to a Catholic high school, and we had to do a skit. They made us play different people in a school environment for a positive attitude, and I had to play the teacher. And I had nothing. They gave me nothing. This is going to be nothing, so I couldn't resist. So I kind of made fun of the meanest teacher in the school for 5 minutes in front of the dean, the assistant dean, my teacher. But the worst part is the people laughing the hardest. The dean, the assistant dean. And I got away with it. Everyone loved it. And actually, and this is no joke, it changed my entire outlook on high school. Letting myself out like that, to just being myself for a little bit, I became a bit more open. I made a bunch of friends, and I thought all of it would come crashing down when Brother Mahoney, the man I was making fun of, a 6'5" ex-kickboxer turned Catholic brother who taught a religion class as was known for lifting a desk with a 300-pound student in it and throwing it out the door, came up to me and said, Mr. Smith, I heard you have an impersonation of me. I'm like, yeah. He said, I also heard it's good. Let me go. Oh, what have you done?
Mr. Badger?
No. What?
As a courtesy,
no,
to our performers,
no,
I tell them that they may request the David L. Lawrence Convention Center to provide their choice of libation backstage.
No.
Backstage. Are you at all involved with this? It appears to be Old Soul Belgian style ale. For that matter, what the actual fuck is this about? And when am I going to be getting the bill? What the fuck is
watch this!
Backstage! It's all got a badger on it, and there's only one goddamn badger up here, kid!
I'm
responsible!
I feel the giving me. I feel that giving me access to the expense account was your problem, not mine. Trust me, it was all essential materials. I've seen your security logs.
You too can own a Boosie Badger autographed Old Soul Booze container for only... how much?
Yes, how much?
How much for you to autograph and give it to
them? Have you gotten the bill yet?
Just give us some money. How about it? This portion of the charity show is brought to you by Old Soul Belgian Style Ale.
It is by, not. We what? Have to have a sponsorship agreement to imply that. Please do not create more work for me.
That's right. Old Soul Badger Ale with the tastes of Badger, Possum, Goose, and Luther.
Oh, it does say that. Oh, my God.
Right there.
Badger, Possum, yeah. No, that's Grouse.
Oh, my God.
Badger, Possum, Grouse. Okay.
And Luther.
So, Badger, Possum, Grouse, all animals, and Luther. I don't know who the fuck Luther is, but he has the most bitchy party at the con right now.
He's got us. Okay, can we get back to the topic at hand? What the hell is this doing backstage?
Oh, I found it. I know why.
Why?
It's fruity.
It's also expressive.
It belongs here.
So what do you have to say for yourself? This portion of the charity show is brought to you by Old Soul Tetris, et cetera. So where were we?
I don't know. You wandered off and came back with evidence of a crime.
With your fingerprints on it, or nose prints, whatever the hell that is.
Why does this keep happening? You can't just keep accusing us of crimes and bringing out booze. No, hold on, I'm seeing it now.
I would like to point out, he didn't bring out booze. He brought out empty booze containers.
Yes.
Incorrect. He brought out the booze. I'm just the Flash, and you don't know it, and now I'm drunk. Welcome to reality.
Are you ever not drunk?
Yes.
I've known you for like 6 years now. I don't think I've ever seen you sober.
Yes, you have. I was in a coma once.
You went to church with me.
Oh, yeah. They gave me free wine. That's not my fault. No, that's being economic.
Dude, that's called communion. That's not free wine.
I want to be very clear, just real quick. Alkali has never gone to church with me. I don't go to church.
I'm not allowed. I go blind.
The priest and I have a very nice agreement. I don't show up, and he doesn't exercise me.
Alkali,
yes?
That's not from going to church.
So, yeah, it is. I used to do a silent retreat. It was actually a wonderful way to just spend some time with myself. A friend of mine introduced me to it. This silent retreat was run by the Jesuits. But in this case, I actually, pretty cool. They had a giant mansion. You go out there. If you wanted time alone, it was a totally silent area. There was a library. There was a lot of things. There were places to walk. It was a good place to recenter. But there was also a church down there. So the last day of this, my buddy who had gone with me, it's time to leave. I went down a little early for breakfast. They're in mass, no big deal. I was about 16, 17 at the time. One of the first times I've been totally on my own, I brought my own food. What does a 16, 17-year-old bring for food for 2 days for a silent retreat?
Cheetos,
Rice Krispie Treats, Ho-Hos, Ding Dongs, the entirety of aisle 7 of Jewel, which is basically called Diabetes Alley. I consumed so much harmful nonsense that while sitting in the church waiting for breakfast, it was time to genuflect. I knelt down. I started to get a headache. I got very dizzy, and my vision shut down. I went blind while sitting in church, and my buddy, who's now leaving, walks past with his father, and they go, "Did you see Dan? They're really into it. I think they finally turned a corner. And John, without missing a beat, like, hell still suck dick, don't worry about it.
On the fact that in this story there is an implied outcome where in an alternate universe, Alkali is brother Alkali of the Saint Parent Monastery.
That is a horrific universe, because monks make beer and I'm an alcoholic. Can you imagine 100% alcohol beer? I can ever beer.
So, as a point of curiosity, Boozy.
Yes.
If somebody was to ask you to autograph one of these after the show.
Yes.
Would you?
Yes.
For charity?
Yes.
And what would you be willing to pay?
50.
100. Okay.
Motherfuckers, if you all are paying $100 for me to autograph a empty beer container, number one, you need to make better life choices.
All right. When the show is done, I'd like to invite my very, very good but only two-lettered colleague here to, if anybody would like, outside, you've got $50 on you, he'll autograph one of these for you. We got plenty, but that's after the show. For right now, I would like to ask Pandez, does a good pharmacist validate parking?
Well, I would hope that there's not a charge for parking to access healthcare, but this is the U.S. healthcare system, so it wouldn't surprise me.
What I loved was you said, does a good pharmacist validate parking? And Pandez immediately said, well, I would hope. Which I had to stop myself because I was going, we have to find a good pharmacist to ask.
Also, are we talking legitimate pharmacist or pharmacist?
Legitimate pharmacist!
Wait a minute. It suddenly occurred to me. You're a Canadian pharmacist. You're one of those guys on the internet, aren't you?
So, technically, I'm still Canadian. I do practice in Michigan in the States. I have to renew a work permit every 3 years, which is interesting and was very intriguing during COVID to renew my work permit when we weren't supposed to be crossing the border.
I love your response. Technically, I'm still Canadian. No, motherfucker, where you were born does not change. You're not technically still Canadian. You're Canadian.
So if somebody applies for U.S. citizenship who used to be Canadian, are they then American?
Do you have to surrender your Canadian citizenship?
I don't know. You're the
lawyer. You do not. You do not have to surrender your Canadian citizenship.
So I could be a Camerican.
Camerican? Yes. Yes, you could.
Life goals.
Well, Canada had the best first impression on me. I used to go there for Nero Canada, a LARPing game that was once every 3 weeks from NIU. It was a 9-hour drive, and the very first time we did it, we get over the Canadian border, and there was a war in full swing, and right over there was a billboard. 4 Canadian soldiers killed in Afghanistan, and right underneath it, in giant block letter graffiti, entire Canadian army wiped out. I love that country.
There was, no shit, years and years ago, there was an oil embargo. And I was in a coffee shop one night, and somebody said, oh, read this news article. We looked at it, the internet was fairly new, we looked at it. And on the screen was, Canadian Navy stops Iranian oil freighter. And everybody goes, oh, and I go, yeah, who the fuck gave Canada a Navy?
God damn it.
Okay, it's just a bunch of the soldiers riding dolphins.
Canada, the Maritimes, not much of Canada has really a passable port. Does it operate out of Newfoundland?
They have no passable port? What do you do for water?
The St. Lawrence Seaway can take you from the Atlantic all the way to Chicago,
but you have to pay a toll.
Yeah, but you have to go to Chicago.
I mean,
what's wrong with Chicago?
How much time do you have?
Damn it.
I enjoy hot dogs with ketchup.
You monster!
I like all of my voters alive.
Oh. Now that's just wishful thinking. Chicago is an amazing place. We have some of the best air quality. The only thing that's in our air is oxygen and bullets. It's amazing. Duck and weave. Remember, serpentine. That's, and if you wonder what that is, that's how most Chicagoans drive. It's just this shit.
Okay, nobody on this stage is really old enough to remember, but I still recall the phrase they used to use, if you smell gunpowder, you're in Cicero.
So I live a block off Cicero, and I will have you know that my air quality is wonderful. My gas overshadows everything. Don't worry about it.
I'll have you know the air quality in my neighborhood is wonderful. I'm going, how the fuck do you know? I've been to your house. There's just a cloud of weed smoke constantly around your head.
This is how Alkali travels. He goes into his living room and he uses a kitchen knife and slices himself some pieces of air, just like Sir Apple, and puts them into his suitcase so he can breathe them later.
That's how it works, man.
Technically, Alkali's not even here. He's just high in his garage and hallucinating.
So my neighbors once did get me. They were coming over to tell me that my garage was on fire. It turned out we were just done for the night and finally stopped hotboxing ourselves. So it's just a cloud coming out under the door. And then he wanted to hang out.
So Mr. Pandez,
yes.
you come from a country where this whole marijuana stuff appears to be legal. Have you any comments on this?
I'm of the opinion that what people do in the privacy of their own home, if it doesn't harm anyone else, should be legal. There should be nothing illegal about that in any of the states, and they should tax it like any other business.
Pandez for president!
The president, thank you. I would like to announce my candidacy. I'm Canadian, so I can't, but I would like to.
Now you admit you're Canadian.
Sorry.
That works.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I think the greatest thing I ever saw. Some of the crew and I, when we were here in Pittsburgh to do some out of the season work, we were drunk and we were visiting. A hotel, and we all gathered in my room, which had a big screen TV, so we decided we were going to spend the evening entertaining ourselves with Russian dash cam videos. Well, after a while, they just got kind of repetitive. We could identify, there's like four Russian dash cam videos. There's the bad left turn, there's the running the red light, there's the person who doesn't understand the crosswalk, the pedestrian crosswalk, and then there's the, what the hell? How is that vehicle suddenly in the road? So we got bored with that, so we said Ronnie was there, and we said, hey, let's look up Canadian dash cam videos. Now, I absolutely swear on my mother's grave that we saw this happen. This Canadian dash cam video, the guy's driving along, and he's the light turns green for him, and he starts forward, hits the brake, and a car runs the red, boom, right in front of him. And you can hear the guy say, you fucking asshole, sorry.
Dash cam videos are a great way to watch traffic accidents, but I have to recommend Chicago roads before the plows come out. Oh, hours and hours of deadly entertainment. I'm driving to work. Now, Chicago has a recessed highway. This thing is lower than the land, meaning there are walls on either side of this highway. And as I'm going to work, driving 20 miles an hour down the highway, because the plows have not come out yet at 4 in the morning, I look to my side, and there is a car. I'm this way, and here he comes. Totally perpendicular, just going right past, and slow enough that when I looked over, I'm fairly certain we made eye contact, and he had just given up. He's like, slides the car past me. I slow down because I don't know where he's going. He didn't maintain control under any way, shape, or form. He just kind of stopped and realized he was pointing at an off-ramp and said, you know what, maybe today's not the right day, and got off my goddamn highway.
Actually, I'd like to try a little experiment. Mr. Badger, would you be willing to indulge me a moment? If you could take off your glasses and face the audience, and close your eyes. And guys with the cameras, if we can have a close-up of my learned colleague's face, I am going to see if we can make him have an out-of-body experience. So, everybody, watch this gentleman's face. Now, picture the scene. Picture a horrific traffic accident. Four cars involved. The ambulance is not yet arriving. Police are not yet on the scene. One guy jumps out and says, oh my God, this is my fault. I didn't even see you coming. This is all my fault. I don't know if that's the pain of death or an orgasm. I'm not sure which it is.
The sensor bar is slowly filling up. Hurry this segment up.
Tell me one of the people injured was a young doctor. You will never work again. Please.
I gotta go!
Actually, no, I don't do personal injury law. My father does, or did. And we used to joke with my dad because lawyers, we have dark fucking senses of humor. Especially personal injury lawyers, we joke and go, Dad, what if somebody got killed in a car accident? Dad would go, oh no, dead people aren't profitable. You only get paid once if someone dies. Where you get them is medical expenses and pain and suffering. And we go, what? He goes, my dream client is a young doctor, a neurosurgeon in his field, just married with children. Bright future ahead of them, and they are hit by a city bus driven by a drunk. And paralyzed from the waist down, we go, holy shit. And he's like, but that's what would pay for your new car.
I would like to share a little something, a shared story with my colleague over here. This is when I knew that I loved this man. I mean a fraternal kind of love. You know, the love of a brother. I love this man like a brother. Meaning I want to punch him all the time. That's when we were discussing when Anthrocon had that little situation with Doug O, if you remember. And I was talking about the difficulty I had collecting the money he owed us. And Mr. Badger, Esquire, told me a tale of when he was assisting with collections, and that's when I said, I love. Would you regale us, please?
It is not uncommon for people who have judgments entered against them to try to hide their assets. And in many cases, you can be very reasonable and make a deal with somebody and say, and go to your client and say, look, they don't have a lot. This is the most you're going to get out of them. Just take it. Because otherwise, they're going to file bankruptcy. You're not going to get anything. Then there are the people that you know can pay the judgment and be fine, but they don't want to. So they start trying to hide assets. And one of the things that you do when you're collecting on them is you get what's called a writ of execution, and you direct the sheriff to go out and levy upon the assets, which is the sheriff puts a little tag on it and says, we're going to sell at the sheriff's sale unless you pay the judgment. So we would go to somebody's house, and they would say, well, I don't own anything in this house. It's either A, all rented, or it belongs to my roommate, or it belongs to my wife, or it belongs to my brother. And you're looking around, you're going, yeah, that's bullshit. We know that you've withdrawn all the money from your bank account. You're claiming that now because you think we have no way to prove it. So I'm sitting there with the sheriff in somebody's room, who obviously, nice house, obviously had the money. And they're doing that, oh no, I don't own any of this stuff. It's all leased, it all belongs to somebody else, it's all this, it's all that. I The guy's dog comes in and goes, "Oh, that's a cute dog. Is it yours?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Sheriff, tag the dog." You'd be amazed how quick the money shows up when the dog's got a sheriff's tag on its leg.
And the dog don't care. He's like,
"Yeah." You know what the worst case scenario was for that dog? Nobody showed up. I bought it on a credit bid for like a quarter, and I've got a new puppy.
You would not take it home if it had its full complement of limbs.
Yeah,
you do have a tuck.
My learned colleague has a fetish for the number three. Okay. That's his fetish.
That's not true. One of my cats only has one eye, but all four legs.
He has a fetish for even numbers. Oh, sorry, odd numbers of body parts. Sue the One-Eyed Murder Kitten, you say?
That is Sue the One-Eyed
Murder Kitten. He named his cat after our guest of honor because he's an asshole.
I cleared it with Sue first.
That's so nice of you.
My cat only has one eye. Can I name it after you? And Sue was like, yes.
I'm honored. You're an asshole. Got it. There we go. If Boozy names a pet after you, that pet will have two eyes. Now it's your turn to lose something, and I think we all know what it is.
Too late.
Oh. It's amazing, because I just got our male cat neutered, and I renamed him Kage. So.
Okay, I'm 57 years old. It's going to happen to all of you.
All of them are going to get neutered?
Nature will do it for you, trust me. Those pills...
That's next year's charity event. Welcome to AnthroCon. For $50, you get to keep your genitals.
How much money do you think we can get?
Lawyer, say something for the love of Christ!
I'm pretty sure I can write a waiver.
Pantera, save us!
Remember to get your friends spayed or neutered.
It's an interesting question. You know that there has been a child conceived at this convention by now. How many years has AnthroCon been running?
Hang on. There is probably somebody in the audience who can legally drink in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania who was conceived at AnthroCon.
And how long has AnthroCon been running, though?
27.
This is our 25th year.
And how long have we been running?
24.
Okay, so if you are 23 or younger, there is a fair chance that Uncle Kage was present at your conception.
Outside the window, watching, always watching, and taking notes so that he might remember his own halcyon youth.
See, you're making some great assumptions about their way that they're doing it.
Actually, we don't have to make assumptions.
He can tell us, Kage.
I can tell you because I get the reports from the security at the Federated Tower, which is immediately opposite the West End. Close your fucking curtains, please!
Do no such thing. I'm lonely and enjoy the printed word.
Okay. I can take you back through time, through history. The reports we get from the Federated Tower security, to AnthroCon security, it's happening again. This time on the 18th floor. That's when we go to each door. Okay, do door. Oh shit!
That's the one.
Pendez, save us!
You get better reports than I get. Like, so let me pull this up. This was an actual thing. I just found this out literally a couple weeks ago. So back in 2015 or 14, I want to say, Indie FurCon, had a convention that had a group of softball moms, like their kids were going to play in like the Little League World Championships. And there were some minor things that happened that I found out about. And then last week we were talking about the softball kids, and one of my staff members says, and I quote, "I'll never forget the two softball moms walking out of the swingers party in nothing but bras and panties, each carrying an empty fifth of New Amsterdam vodka, walking past us into the courtyard and going for a swim in the fountain with the fire features. It was forever burned into my memory." To which I replied, "How am I just now finding out about this? It has been 7 years. I was the chair." And security replied, "Because we did our job right."
Ooh.
Okay, I want to hear from security right now. We all get that. But yes, folks, thank you so much for letting us know after the fact. I see a vest back there going,
Security is very good about that. They know what things that there's nothing we could do about anyway, and they let us wait till after the convention to find out about it. Like such. "Hey, Alkali, don't worry about the guy who installed the stripper pole in his hotel room. Better to ask forgiveness than permission." Installed a stripper pole? Yeah, here's the pictures. Like, all right, it's installed into the ceiling, screwed in, into the floor, screwed in, and all I want to know is, why don't I get invited to these parties?
Just a small notation for folks. I have a meeting with the Westin Hotel housekeepers, and then with the housekeeping managers of all the hotels on Monday morning. And that meeting consists of me walking in with a pad of paper saying, "All right, give me room numbers. Tell me who I need to talk to. And then when I get home to my cozy little condominium on the lake in Raleigh, North Carolina, I start making phone calls. Don't be one of them."
Dude, you've got it easy. You have such a good relationship. There is no miscommunication between you and your hotel. Do you know what I had to deal with recently?
What?
A cleaning staff running into operations. "There's a dragon in one of the bedrooms!" I'm like, "I know. There's a bunch of them. They're adorable." She's like, "No, you don't understand. It was gigantic. It was also like, well, not all of them are like that, but the endowed ones, yes." Somebody had brought their service animal, a 6-foot-long lizard, and left it out and exposed in their room. And the lizard must have gotten a little chilly because it went under the covers in the bed where I'm assuming somebody was laying. So when this poor cleaning lady had went to throw the covers off the bed to remake it, it was just, "Yo." And she screamed and she ran. And to this day, the very first thing she said, "A dragon," I actually said to her, "Yeah, that's normal." She was not happy.
I got nothing. Yeah, okay.
No, I got something.
Yes, what?
I got something. It was not a service animal. Service animal has a distinct legal definition.
Please tell us.
The only two recognized, legally recognized service animals under the ADA are dogs and miniature horses.
I want to emphasize miniature horses.
All other animals, which may or may not be recognized under applicable state laws, are classified as support animals.
Boozy, you are one of the smartest people I know,
and you just told an entire room of furries that they can bring their pet horse to Anthro.
Their pet miniature horse to Anthro.
Yes, it must be, it can be no taller than 18 inches.
Now that is not to say, by the way, that animals other than miniature horses and dogs may not be recognized as valid support animals under law. Every state has different laws regarding this. You have to actually check your state's laws to determine whether or not that animal is or is not a legally recognized support animal subject to ADA-like protections. But service animal has a distinct definition under federal law, and it can only be a dog or a miniature horse.
I feel necessary to point out this point. Mr. Badger is a lawyer, but he is not your lawyer. Unless you have an established attorney-client relations with him, any advice that he gives is intended for information.
That's not advice. Dog. That's just a statement. I'm sorry. I am doing the same service Wikipedia provides, except somebody called PussSmasher69 can't edit it later.
Pandad, save us!
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Like, I want to keep you on retainer. Fuck this lawyer shit. Who are you? Bye. This is my Canadian. What's he doing? Pandad, show what you. Sorry.
You don't want me to whip out the double-double.
That means I say sorry twice.
It's true.
Is it a double-double dark?
Light roast.
The double-double dark is when he says sorry twice, but during sex. When
the light's out.
You expect me to be able to say sorry twice in the length of time it takes me to have sex? That is a very long length of time. And I appreciate the fact that you think I couldn't last two whole sorries.
Pandas, I think you should just be flattered that I assume you've had sex.
You're not running.
Shots fired! Shots fired!
No, that's the problem. No shots have been fired.
Well, when they do, Pandas is going to paint the town white.
So I'm assuming all this is true. I don't remember.
I'm assuming this is the cause of the 1912 molasses incident. You are Canadian. I don't know biology that well, but people died.
Did you even know about that before I showed you the video at the lake?
So the worst part is yes, because of most of my knowledge comes from The Simpsons, and they once made fun of it.
Okay,
so technically, yes.
I was going to say, if you learned about that because I made you watch a video with a singing horse puppet covered in molasses while we were at a lake house.
Yep, it helped. Gave me a good working knowledge.
Okay, I'm very, very curious. What do normal people do on their vacations? I don't think we know.
Yeah, the front row has a right.
No, I said normal people.
Oh, right. We are normal under certain definitions of the word normal if we throw out the dictionary. Also, fuck that word. We are what we want to be. We're furries. We win.
Based on what I've seen in Disney World, prepare for their divorce trial while wearing mouse ears on Main Street.
Disney.
What the fuck do you mean you bought $80 fudge?
Disney World has the reputation among my group of friends as being the reason that my two straight friends will never have children. They went to Disney World on their honeymoon, and within 5 minutes, my buddy, John the Human, at the top of his lungs, screamed out, "Fucking strollers inside of Space Mountain." And from that day forward, he looked at me like, "We are never having kids." And she goes, "Fine." And that was the end of the discussion. Disney is the best birth control.
I took my kids years ago to Disney World. I haven't actually taken them again. Have you looked at the fucking price of Disney World? Jesus Christ. Like, at that point, when I took them, I only had one child old enough to appreciate it. The other ones were free. So we went to Disney World, and I bought the tickets, and you're waiting to get on, like, the tram or the ferry boat over to the park. And we get over there, and it's me and one other dad, and we had just paid. And we have the look on our face of... And he looks at me, and I look at him, and he goes, "Those prices." I go, "Fucking right." He goes, "It's a magical experience." I go, "Yeah. You know, we'll make it a bit more magical as if Mickey held me back while Donald gut punched me and Goofy took my wallet." Better be careful. They're going to put me in Disney jail. You know, "Oh, that's bread and water for you. Bread's $50, water's $80. You'll be charged to your magic band." Oh!
Holy shit, you can paint the picture.
We picked his pocket even.
Tweedledum and Tweedle bankruptcy lawyers.
It is time, but we're going to
do something. We're going to do something a little different, if you don't mind. So we did this last night at Convention War Stories. You weren't there, and Pandas, you were in the audience, so you had a bit of time to prepare. You're going first. We're going to put the hat out front in a moment, because what we're here for this weekend is the charity. If you haven't got a chance to talk to them this weekend, one of the things that they are trying to accomplish, they are building a site on site, a permanent residence for their animals that are going to be there forever. They are building a learning facility, a place where the community can come in and learn and interact with these animals who are going to spend the rest of their lives with this charity. It's an amazing, amazing feat that they are doing, and I'm so glad that we are all here to support them. And as always, you've already paid to get in here, so as we always say, if you can give, give, and if you can't, don't worry about it. I have been at that charity table for a significant portion of the weekend. They're going to cry.
How is it you say it, Dan? How is it that, what is it about tears?
The tears of the charity
are what keep us young.
Yes.
So I have a question for the two of you. Boozy and I answered it last night during Convention War Stories. We're going to put the hat up front. The question is, what is the... Thank you, guys. What is the moment that in all the years of organization, like, you're giving up your time, you give up your convention to help organize this?
Yes.
What's the moment that you knew this was the right thing? This is what you wanted to do. This is how you spend the convention.
The moment?
I am
very, very, very fortunate, very blessed that these moments happen every year. I think the moment for me was during the block party on Saturday evening, when this very, very tiny, very, very sweet, frail little old lady in a wheelchair wheeled herself up to me and said, "I am so glad you're all back." It's like, yeah, okay. Organizing this shit almost fucking killed me, but it was worth it for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Stop, man. I've watched him. He keeps dropping money and taking four steps, opening his wallet, looking in, taking out more money, and dropping it. All at once, please. You can put it in at one time.
That's what she said.
Hey, man, save us.
So one Sunday of IFC, we received a handwritten letter left in operations, and I have a digital copy of it. Someone transposed it for me, and I always keep it on my phone because I always will come back to it if I ever get in a dark place, if I ever need something to bring me light. This right here. Finally home. Amidst all the places I've called home, the place with all the people I call family is the furry fandom. As I have said before, these furs are not part of a simple fandom. They belong to a wonderful family that, yes, has its share of issues, but always, from my own observation, is handled with complete respect. To my own physical family, though my own physical family doesn't always do that, I have come to see that I no longer have to feel alone, which does not happen even when I know I have my wonderful family of furries to walk and talk to for guidance. I may not ever have had anything more to contribute to these furs than a simple hug, but I do have something more, my words and my ability to put them to use. So this story, poem, or whatever you wish to call it, is to say, you have a home here and are welcome to stay. I am finally home. I dedicate this to the family of furries around the world. If you don't, I'll remember it.
The most recent one is the only one that really comes to mind, and it's happened several times this weekend. To a huge extent, it has been just the joy of watching people reconnect after 2 or 3 years. And I had one last night where it was somebody who had come up and was talking about how much bits and things like that have helped them. But this morning I was thinking about the Your First FurCon panel on Friday. And the room was full. It was full overflowing. I walked in to watch it. And this gentleman got up there. And one of the first things he said is, how many of you are here for your first AnthroCon? And every hand went up. Followed by, how many of you are here for your first convention? And almost every hand went up. Followed by, how many of you are new to the fandom? And almost every hand went up. And the first FurryCon, the first AnthroCon, new to the fandom, there are people who, in the pandemic, went online and went, what's this animal shit? And that's their community now. That's a wonderful thing.
This one's, if you were at Horror Stories last night, you know this is very not easy for me to tell. It was a few years ago. A few years ago, working with this gentleman over here, we had just finished the fursuit parade, and we were down in Hall D, where the community of Pittsburgh got to come in and actually interact with the fursuiters. What a party. The block party now is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen, which, by the way, walking around that was hands down one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Thank you so much for making that. We're down in Hall D. And there is a mother with her small child. And I overheard the kid yell at their mother, Mommy, Mommy, it's like all my stuffed animals came to life. And then just ran and interacted with a giant group of furries. And it was just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I'm going to hijack Mr. Badger's thing. I don't know. Okay, the thing is, we were all somewhat lit up at the time. None of us can remember exactly who said it. I think it might have been QM. It was
definitely my spouse. I'm nowhere near that deep.
It was
I'm about as deep as the shallow end of a rain puddle. So.
All right. I was visiting Mr. Badger at his home. This is before I went to sleep with his hooker. And that's another story. We were sitting in the kitchen, and we were discussing things, and. When we were talking about furry fandom, QM said the most remarkable thing, and thank God I wrote it down. I wrote it down on like some scrap of paper that was sitting on the table, I think it was your electric bill, because I wanted to remember it. QM said, furry fandom is the community we never realized we had been looking for all our lives. And I think that's true. That's the first of the feels. The second, we are coming to the closing hours of AmpriCon 2022. Not done yet, but very, very soon. I think at this point, I think I can go ahead and say it. Are you all familiar with the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Yeah.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation is a foundation that assists families who have children who are suffering from conditions that may give them limited time to live out their dreams. And then they facilitate those dreams coming true. AmpriCon was contacted by the Make-A-Wish Foundation asking to assist a child whose wish was to go to AmpriCon. We made that happen this year.
It's okay, it's not the first time Kage's mother has basically used it.
Cut his microphone off, thank you very much. Penta, save us!
How?
How do you know? We're all emotional right now. Be human and deal with your emotions, it's okay.
Spoken like a true Canadian.
Yeah. I mean, I could go a little non-Canadian for a bit if you wanted.
Oh, do it. That'd be sexy. Do it. Give us the non-Canadian.
A little non-Canadian?
Yes.
A little non-Canadian?
Yeah, please.
Your prescription will be $87. Your medication needs a prior authorization, which means even though your doctor wrote the prescription, we have to contact them to ask them why they wrote the prescription. Because we don't think they actually want you to have this prescription. These are the joys of my everyday life.
Boozy, save us!
How am I supposed to fucking save you? Do you not know what I do?
What?
Save, Boozy, save us from the injustices of America! I'm a lawyer! If this country was fair and just, I'd be homeless!
What the shit?
What?
What?
Sir, what are you doing? Be down and where
AmpriCon
open!
Well, dude, you're late at this. Guys, we were supposed to this Friday. This was.
What day is this?
I don't know!
Oh, God, it's just starting!
It's, oh my God, it's Groundhog Day! Oh, shit!
This is like the dream, only we're not naked this time.
I'd like to be.
Speak for yourself.
You're the only one not blocked by the table.
I know. Uh-oh.
So that was literally fur East Standard Time.
Oh my God!
You have the giant nominal scissors. Oh no! Don't nom me with the nominal scissors.
I can't just point out that maybe giving fur a giant pair of scissors is not the best for our liability insurance.
Excuse me, giving fur anything is not the best for our liability insurance. The man is a walking catastrophe.
I managed to get him to the roof of the Motor City Furcon Hotel.
And you didn't push him off.
We survived. There's video and or photo evidence of this.
There's not only photo evidence. For years, I helped out MCFC because they were too cheap to buy a megaphone. So instead, they give me a hot dog and say, go. And I stand outside and organize their fursuit photo, which is taken from the roof by Pandez and Fur. And I look up there to confer with my partners. And what do I see? Pandez in what I assumed was a safety harness, ready to make sure everything was okay, and Fur trying to get my attention, leaning over a fucking building like this! Rock tight, camera in hand, like this is how Fur dies.
Incidentally, and okay, we're having a lot of fun here. I do want to point out, if you don't know who Fur is, good.
If you don't know who Fur is, they have two Twitter accounts. Fur has their Twitter account. It is possibly one of the greatest Twitter accounts on the internet. That is not a joke. Find it, read it, have fun. There's a second Twitter account that none of us know who runs it. It is called Is Fur Injured?
The answer is yes.
The answer is usually, it only posts the word yes or no, but the crazy thing is, we were hanging out with Fur. Fur twisted his ankle. My phone buzzed, and it said yes. Fur did not have a phone on them at the time, which means the only two people that are running that account is me, don't like Twitter, or God. And God is very concerned.
When I tweeted, going up to the roof of the hotel with Fur, that account quote tweeted, uh-oh.
I love that one. That killed
me. The best thing ever is Fur recently bought a house. Have you seen the photos of Fur's house?
I was afraid to.
That house is how Fur fucking dies. It has those, like, altered stairs.
What do you mean altered stairs?
Like the ones where, like, the tread's different on each step.
Oh, it's just like pieces of wood jutting out of the wall, alternating?
It's a dome that has a tie-off on the top of the dome that if Fur has to do any maintenance, Fur has to climb the dome and tie themselves off.
The Is Fur Injured account is ready and standing by.
Fur, where are you at? Step up here in the front. Give these people a wave.
Without the scissors, please.
Yes, leave the scissors. Don't run with the scissors. No running with scissors.
Who sold you scissors?
This is Fur, ladies and gentlemen. He will probably die in a few days, so treasure the moments we have. DJ, comedian, former guest of honor of Fur Square. Yes, it's Fur.
Friendly shout out, if you've never seen Fur stuff, next year at AnthroCon, make a point of it. I have only been to a few of the raves and conventions before. I think they're very cool.
Dances. Do not use the R word at conventions.
We do not have raves.
I've only been to a few of the draves at conventions before. They're combined. It's friendly now. They're fucking. Genuinely, what goes on, I got to witness first set, and that is impressive. It is something to see. Next year, AnthroCon, take a second, see their set, and you will change your mind about dreams. They're amazing.
The weirdest part about Fur is Fur beat cancer. Fur beat cancer twice. Fucking awkward when he dies in a 3D printer accident.
Look, all we know is that the next time they 3D print a coffin and decide the only way to measure it properly is to lay there for a few hours, we know how it ends.
Like, cancer got into his body, looked around and went, oh no, this is dangerous.
Panda, save us!
How dirty would you like me to get?
Be dirty. Be Canadian dirty.
Canadian men ejaculate maple syrup.
We knew it. Called it.
Yeah, yep. We know that.
Yep. So if you're dating a Canadian man, you don't use a diaphragm. Nope. Pancake.
Okay, here's the thing. What happens if a Canadian man develops a sexually transmitted disease? That's where poutine comes from. Oh, I think I got it.
No, this got nothing to do with you.
Okay, what went on the sidebar here that I didn't hear?
Boozy's like, I'm trying that pancake thing tonight. How what? Would you like to explain this?
This portion of the charity show is brought to you by Old Soul Belgian Style Ale.
So let me just say, they probably haven't everybody up here. Alkali and I have the weirdest fucking friends. But Alkali said, mind me. Alkali got a text message this morning
That was a picture of a gentleman doing something.
What?
On a breakfast plate.
Oh, no. Yes.
The text that was sent with it was, I just hate it when someone comes on my crepes. We were laughing about it before because that's the type of fucked up friendship we had. He had stuff like that. He's like, dude, look at this. And then we giggle. He was a stockbroker. I'm a lawyer. He's like, hey, crepe gum. So when Pandas goes, Canadian men come maple syrup, we looked at each other, we're like, we hate it when someone comes on our crepes.
That is the specialty in Quebec.
I'm moving.
Yeah, we're all professionals. We got a stockbroker, a commodities dealer, we got a lawyer, we got a scientist, we got a pharmacist. And we're doing this shit up here. I would like to take a moment to quote a beloved and departed friend of the fandom. Many of you knew Takaza years ago. I very much like to repeat something he once said, and I think all of my friends up here would agree, and I hope all of you would agree, life is short. Be silly. Once again, when we're done, if you'd like to have an autograph on this amazing old soul built in style ale by the model for this picture, Mr. Boozy Badger over there, at the end of this outside, he will autograph one of these for $50 for the charity.
By the way, have you seen how ridiculous that thing is on the side?
What? Like, what do you mean?
So, it's a badger with human arms, wings, I think that's a possum body. Like, look at this hybrid. Like, hybrids are cool, but this
one... Oh, wait. Holy see? Crap. The badger.
Yeah.
Badger. Possum. The wings are the grouse.
Yeah.
The arms. Well, that's Luther.
You mean like Martin Luther?
Listen, I didn't mean it.
Okay. Lucifer? All right. I am going to rely on my lawyer to tell me when it's time to stop talking, but... Recently, I traveled to the German city of Magdeburg to do a little thing for Euroference when they had to cancel their convention, but they did something online. So I flew to Magdeburg, and it so happens that Magdeburg is the home of Martin Luther, and we were sharing the hotel with a large group of Lutherans. And they had a full-sized papier-mâché effigy of Martin Luther in the lobby. And, well, they didn't guard it at night. And the Germans had a bunch of these little tea lights, you know, with the little tiny LED tea lights.
That was the wrong hand motion, man.
LED tea lights?
Much better. Yes.
They had adhesive on the back, and I discovered that you could stick these onto Martin Luther's eyes. And we created Mecha Luther. We discovered that you could actually put a fursuit head on Mecha Luther. We were taking pictures, and all was fun. But then I went to bed because I had quite a lot of German wine. I woke up at like 4 in the morning because of jet lag and time differences and everything. I came outside my hotel room thinking I'll take a walk, maybe that'll clear my head. The effigy was gone. But there were these dusty footprints leading from where it had been to the front of the hotel. I am not making this shit up. I have not attempted to stick tea lights to the face of a papier-mâché Martin Luther since.
I feel that's
a really specific thing.
And you'd be surprised how many times it comes up.
Well, remember, Germans are very specific kinds of people. I mean, yeah. That's why they lost the damn war. But they're not here, are they? Sorry, guys. I don't mean to bring it up.
Are the Germans here?
Nine.
There's nine Germans here?
Poor piece of dish.
Hey, all nine of you, you still lost the damn war. The fuck? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like, no, fuck you. That's like somebody from Alabama. You know, the Confederacy lost, but you can't mention. No, fuck you. I'm going to tell you. You lost the war.
The thing is, okay, first off, I do want to state for the record, AFRICON and Euroference have the very, very closest, both professional and personal relationship. We are very, very mutually supporting. We share staff members. We help each other out.
Hey, you know what you don't share?
What?
Performers, asshole. Everybody here has been invited to Germany. Raise your hand.
I get it, so they don't invite the Jew.
Oh. We're the Canadian.
They had a virtual convention, Kage. You could have put in a word for us.
Okay, all right, yep. I need to explain, because I have an in. I told my colleagues over in Germany, hey, how about Alkali? Maybe you should have Alkali come. Oh no, we could not have Alkali come. His American accent is so thick, no one would understand him. I'm serious, that was their answer.
I didn't know I had an American accent. I just found out I had a Chicago accent recently.
Chicago, did you hear that?
That's how you spell it, Chicago. Yeah.
Anyway, Euroference has a problem with things starting on time. And this was a mystery to me. I could not figure it out. I mean, they're Germans. They're supposed to be efficient. Why is everything late? I told them that, okay, next year I'm starting. I run their art auction. I'm going to start my goddamn art auction at noon. It's going to start at noon. And if you guys aren't ready, I'm going to start it anyway. I went in the room. It was empty. The audience was lined up outside. I got up on stage and I started auctioning phantom pieces of art. I started the damn auction. 10 minutes into it, one of the AV guys jumped up on stage and I said, excuse me, can we at least sit the audience down? And he said, not yet, the sound is not perfect. It's all clear to me now. The sound is not perfect. That's why you lost the fucking war. But then the next year, I was in my room. Art auction starts at 12:30. It's 12:26. I'm going to go down to the art auction. And I wrote down in the elevator, it was 12:29. Somebody stopped me in the lobby. Oh, hello, Uncle Kage. Could I have an autogram from you? So I signed the autograph. And then I'm going by the bar. I'll just get a glass of wine for the auction. Okay, I'll get a glass of wine for the auction. And it was about 12:33. And somebody else stopped me. Oh, Uncle Kage, can I have a photo? It's my faucet. Okay. And it was about 12:35 when I walked into the foyer outside the room. One of the security guys came running up and said, where have you been? I said, well, I'm just... He said, we've already started. And I went into the room, and for the first time in 19 goddamn years, they started the auction on time, and my counterpart, Tita, was on stage saying, oh, we're sorry, Uncle Kake is late.
You live in North Carolina, right?
I do.
Yeah, that's why you lost the fucking war.
Save us!
No.
See, I'm enjoying this too
much. Even the Canadians are with me on this one.
Oh, you want to talk about who lost the fucking war. Ask the Canadians.
I believe
you know what?
Fire damage to the White House because of Canadians.
Yeah, I mean, I need to be pedantic here, but they didn't lose that fucking war.
You're right, it was a tie.
No! We sued for peace. It was granted. The one battle, the one major victory we won in that war, the Battle of New Orleans, occurred after the treaty had been signed. The word just hadn't gotten back to us yet.
God bless America.
Welcome to the charity slash history show.
Speaking of charity, before we go on, as we know this is a charity panel, I just wanted to take a moment to recognize some people that have been working their ass off all weekend. The charity team and charity is here in the front row. Guys, can you take a second to stand up and be recognized?
The Coast of Wildlife, Mercy, Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much. So much for everything that you do. You are charity team. This all possible. The charity team has been a little understaffed this week and have been running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off and having to deal with me with messages like this. Sorry guys, I'll get the money to you shortly, but it's in one of my many pockets and my coat is missing. Don't worry about it, it's in very capable hands. Here's the message from my friend. I have your coat. Holy shit, what is wrong with you? Get this from me now. I'm scared. Thank you guys so much for everything. We as furries, we come out here for a weekend. We have a party. We have a community. And we help the charity. We do something wonderful and magical that happens because of this community. The charity does this every minute of every day, and that is so cool. Thank you for taking care of those who can't help themselves. You guys are amazing. We have 7 minutes left.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I knew that, because they put the monitor telling us how much time we have on the other side of our sign language interpreter, so all I see is like the corner of... Oh, thank you so
there
much, daughter. There. Oh, thank you so much. Yes.
She just slowly slinks off stage. What are you doing?
Scream! Scream! Scream!
Oh, now we can see. Thank you.
I didn't want to say anything before, because I was afraid that, okay, look at it from her standpoint. Here's a creepy old man looking at her legs. I didn't want to do that. I do that usually, but I didn't want to do it now. Remember what I said, it's been 30 goddamn years. Don't ever get old, you won't like what happens.
I'm just waiting for you. Hey, you make a better sign than a window.
Boozy, save us.
No.
We're on our own. Scatter.
This portion of the show is for us.
Listen, I just want to point out, I actually unfolded one of these boxes and realized that there's a full representation of the badger, possum, grouse, Luther hybrid on the side. I don't know if maybe you can get a good close-up of it, but if anybody would draw a porn of this, I would be interested in seeing it.
Okay, this is how you got into the fandom.
So the yes. Two hogs circling, but that.
Yes, yes. The RV.
So we're not talking about that RV.
Don't talk about the sideways RV. No.
The what?
Nothing.
The what?
You can watch it on the replay.
No.
I know. I'll go ahead and tell them. I have for years had a proposal for Alkali that we both quit our jobs. Hey, you're halfway there. that we both quit our jobs, get an RV, and travel the nation doing comedy shows in various states. Now, the benefit of this is not going to be the comedy shows. They will not be recorded. We will just show up in your town, do a show for gas money, and leave again. The benefit will be the DVD we put out called In the RV. Now, I described this earlier and somebody said, I have a fan fiction now. And it is you and Alkali circling each other like fuckhawks in the RV as it spirals off a cliff.
We shouldn't have let Zanny drive. This just wasn't a good idea.
So when this show is done, indeed, because I decided that it would be an okay thing to fish all of these out of the dumpster backstage, yes, Mr. Badger has agreed for a $50 donation to the charity. He would autograph this. We have charity representatives here. I'm going to ask the kindly favor. I'm going to give you this box that I pulled out of the dumpster. It's a little stinky. Try not to touch too much of it. When we're done, I'd ask you to take this to the foyer outside. Mr. Badger will meet you there. He's moving a little slow because he's old now.
You are putting a lot of value on me. For $50, he'll sign this, and somebody's out there like, I am not paying $50 for the fat lawyer to sign.
Do not undersell yourself. Do you know how much you charged us for legal services, restaurant? 5 fucking hams!
I gave you a discount.
One, 5 hams is a discount? 2, what the hell are you going to do with 5 hams?
Well, I've eaten 2 of them. The other 3 are in the freezer. And to go back to the first question, I had never invoiced him before.
So you invoiced 5 hams?
I invoiced 5 hams.
What led you to the quantity and item of 5 hams?
Well, generally, he has 4 hams. So I figured adding one was fair.
Fair enough.
This has been the Amphicon 2022 charity show benefiting Wildlife Works. My dear friend Pandas, my most esteemed friend and bed buddy Alkali Bismuth, our darling lawyer who tells me to shut up all the time, Boozy Badger.
And he's going to try to rush this one, and that doesn't count. Ladies, gentlemen, both and neither, one of the kindest and hardest working people I know. They helped make this weekend happen with a crew of people. Sam, it won't be the same. I love you so much. Thank you for making this convention possible. You're amazing. Thank you for inviting us all up onto this stage.
You're very welcome. Okay, let's fuck off now. Everybody out.
See you at closing ceremonies and go!